Gapo dia? Teknologi gapo yang mencorak hidup kita? Gapo sebaliknya? Gapo dia? Ikuti Gapo dia bagi membincangkan sedikit kisah di sebalik teknologi tercanggih masa kini, dibawakan oleh Oppo Malaysia.
Korang tengah layan podcast Amans, bahagian dari jaringan podcast di Amans ni. Apa khabar semua? Aku Mat Fiz.
Aku Yem.
Okay, banyak benda kita nak cakap, and including boleh dikatakan perkara-perkara yang kita have been following all this while in podcast Amans is a step closer to completion. Kita mulakan segmen pertama, apakah berita terbesar minggu ni? Okay, berita terbesar minggu ni is of course aku dan Yim banyak bersembang tentang perkara ni, iaitu the impending merger of Digi and also Celcom Axiata. And the latest report menyatakan bahawa Axiata Group Berhad telah move a step closer to merging telecommunication operations of its subsidiary Celcom Axiata Berhad with Norwegian Telenor Group's unit Digi.com Berhad selepas telah mendapat the group go ahead ataupun green light from Securities Commission. And kita semua tahu di Malaysia ni as far as any talks of merger it doesn't make any difference as long as there's no green light from the Securities Commission ataupun SC. And the completion of the proposed transaction will now be subject to approval of Bursa Malaysia and by both Axiata and Digi.com shareholders. And in June, MCMC telah mengeluarkan notis of no objection to the proposed merger. Dan kita tahu it's been going on I wouldn't say this whole year. Aku rasa aku dengan Ye pernah cakap pasal whether this thing will come to fruition or not. There are many theories but apparently it is a step closer and aku rasa it's boleh dikatakan one foot in the door lah. But what does this mean for the rest of us and also for the rest of the telco? Is everyone is going to be gobbled up, dimakan, dimamah oleh this new giant? It remains to be seen, but aku rasa in terms of strength alone, it's a big four. They are part of the big three lah. Two of the big threes telah bergabung, and I think it spells bad news for Maxis and also you mobile for that matter. What do you think, Gabe?
I think it's irrelevant because when we talk about telco, the only thing that matters right now is their 5G rollout. And because there is a single wholesale network that is provided by DNB, what matters most now is service. Having said that, macam kau cakap tadi, MCMC telah pun memberikan tiada halangan ataupun tiada bantahan back in June tahun ini. Lepas tu, baru ni pun dah, SC pun dah approve. But one thing that we need to look at is commission untuk anti-competition ataupun MICC, Malaysia Competition Commission. Sebab so, pada bulan Julai baru-baru ni, dia cakap yang Competition Act 2010 applies to all and any commercial activity and the act clearly stipulates ataupun says that it does not apply to commercial activities to four sectors, one of which is telco. Jadi, why one of the four sectors is not included inside the Competition Act is because this is part of a story of scale matters. And when you talk about, say, for instance, retail, Parkson nak combine dengan Jaya Jesco, contohnya, ataupun Aeon. Okay, this is a big problem because it does affect retail and they can manipulate prices and all this. Tapi macam the telco sector not apply to the... exactly. And you can't have 10 players tau inside telco sector because this sector requires a lot of capex. We're talking millions, tens, perhaps hundreds of millions of ringgits in terms of investment. So the concept of competition doesn't necessarily apply in this sense. So once the post-merger happens, this becomes the biggest telco in the country, superseding Maxis. In fact, number three will be very far behind, which is U-Mobile. But this is not the reason why Dato' Izzaddin, the previous CEO of Axiata, was removed. Izzaddin was removed because of his opposition towards DNB and 5G. But Digi and Celcom merger is so far tak ada lagi orang yang bantah. Maxis pun tak cakap banyak. In fact, bukan tak cakap banyak, tak cakap apa benda pun. Sebab, to be honest, even Maxis was... even Maxis was trying to see there a possibility of merging with another telco. But they don't want to say this, of course. But merging with another telco only makes sense. The other sector that we need to look at is banking sector, which is part of the four that the Competition Act does not apply. The banking sector also sees a possible merger between all the players. We've seen that the reckoning is near. Banks are not competing just against banks. Banks are now competing against wallets. They are competing against ride-hailing companies. They are competing against telco companies. They are competing against everybody. So even banks right now need to ask themselves a long and hard question and whether or not they need to be as many banks as it is right now. On top of this, Bank Negara pun dah approve 5 licensees on digital banks. So more players are now coming in. So in the end, you're going to be looking at a few sectors amalgamating even further. Number one, banking sector. Number two, telco. This merger is going to happen no matter what. I can tell you that. The question now is on the timing. Once MyCC tak boleh masuk campur, another one, what's his name? MCMC tak ada halangan, and now SC dah approve. By the end of the year, this deal is going to be wrapped up nicely.
Memang if you were to believe the reports that has been that has come out so far, that's the proposed timeline lah, or that's the expected timeline. Tapi apa yang aku bukanlah pelik, or apa yang bermain di fikiran aku kan, Yem, ialah bila consolidation happens, we are moving more and more towards a monopoly or duopoly. That's not necessarily good for the market, right? Are we expecting more new smaller players to come in, especially in this particular telco sector?
Not quite, because if you look at VMNO ataupun MVNO, MVNO ni Mobile Virtual Network Operator dekat Malaysia ni, banyak bro, seriously banyak.
Actually banyak.
So
ada benda yang aku tak pernah tengok pun.
Yes, there's Merchant Trade, there's Red Tone International, there's TuneTalk, there's XOX. Why they are virtual is because they ride on the bigger players punya network. So, you know, they ride on Maxis punya network, they buy wholesale in terms of the network, and then they buy Celcom punya network. So when you have, say, for instance, a data warehouse, they are clocked into the wired internet backbone network, and then the MNO that is owned access has a mesh network, and then they go down to the various mobile virtual network operator. So they have MVNO1, MVNO2, MVNO3, somewhere right on the MNO punya owned access mesh network. This is the general principle of how things work when it comes to MVNO. VMNO and then MNO. So while we have MNO kecil players there in terms of Celcom Digi as one player, Maxis as another, U-Mobile as another, there's still many more MVNO that is out there. 4 that I've mentioned, but there's many more. Macam kau cakap tadi, even the names, some of the names we don't even know. When that happens, it's actually quite okay. So all you need to think about is this. Are we complaining that there are problems when it comes to
phone lines?
Electric provider. Nobody gives a shit that TNB is the only one. Nobody. No, because aku tak nampak orang protest tengah jalan. Apa. Kenapa? Yeah. Nah, exactly. Nak cakap apa? So yeah. The same thing goes with the 5G rollout. In the end, we are down to just one player, which is DNB, owned by 4 players, soon to be 3 players, because Digi Celcom will be one, and then 30% will be owned by MOF. So you get one guy to own the entire 5G network, which is DNB. I'm telling you, the whole treatment is going to be the same. Nobody is going to create havoc when it comes to 5G being the only provider by DNB. Why? Because at the end of the day, if the MNO service sucks, remember, this is a industry that people attrition leave, rate is very high, substitute products are very high, people can port their numbers in and out of the company. Within 1 month, you can have 3 mobile network companies kalau kau nak. So Because of this, people are not going to give shit in terms of the number of players. People are going to give a high regard towards level of service. So this actually, in turn, pushes the MNOs to actually give the best service there is. So I don't see this as a monopoly issue. I see this as good for the consumer.
That's great to hear. And I mean, let's see what happens at the end of the year and continue on to see Maxis. I'm sure. Mana tahu lepas ni, I mean, Maxis is always known to overinflate packages, right? Let's see how it affects their pricing strategy moving forward. On that note, kita berehat sebentar untuk segmen ni. Lepas ni kita sambung lagi. Apa lagi berita terbesar minggu ni?
Pandangan dan suara anda penting untuk didengari. Ingin memulakan podcast anda sendiri? Kami menyediakan package all-in-one untuk anda secara percuma untuk episod pertama. Ya, secara percuma. Tunggu apa lagi? Jom bina konten digital anda bersama Pusat Media Amans. Info lebih lanjut di us@amans.my.
Okey, kembali ke podcast Amans bersama aku, Mak Piz dan juga Yem. Ini adalah segmen kedua. Segmen apa lagi berita besar? Okey, kita masih lagi bercakap tentang Malaysia ataupun lebih spesifik kita bercakap tentang kenyataan yang dikeluarkan oleh Perdana Menteri kita Dato' Sri Ismail Zafri Yaakob. Tapi ia merujuk kepada ASEAN dan juga China. Di mana kita lihat ada laporan yang menyatakan PM telah menyatakan harapan beliau bahawa ASEAN dan China dapat teruskan kerjasama untuk menaik taraf ataupun meningkatkan kualiti volume of their free trade agreement. Of course, kita tahu bahawa this free trade agreement ni, he is referring to the ASEAN-China Free Trade Agreement ataupun ACFTA, and PM telah mencadangkan perkara ini untuk mutual benefit untuk all the countries involved. Then of course, kita tahu I mean, these markets are very, ASEAN is very important to China, and China is also very important to ASEAN. Aku rasa Malaysia is also, I mean, China is one of our highest or most important trading partner, and I'm sure it's the same for most of the ASEAN countries. Tapi when we talk about free trade agreement ni, there's a lot more complexities. Ya, aku rasa kita, even aku pun, I'm no trade expert. But I think when we talk about bilateral and multilateral trade, there's always the issue. There's always the issue, and especially with COVID, recovery post-COVID hanging over us, some countries recover faster than others. I'm glad to see that sebenarnya Malaysia is actually one of the decent one when it comes to post-pandemic recovery. Although we're not really in the post-pandemic era, but let's put it the post-MCO recovery lah, we're doing good. But I think as far as Prime Minister is concerned, when you talk about hoping of increase, aku rasa this is a very standard statement coming out of Ismail Sabri. But I think what we need to work on is actually which part of things that we can improve, and which parts of the volume that we should be focusing on. I think that, I mean, at least that's my take. What's your take?
Okay. In the speech, Dato' Sri Ismail Sabri menyatakan bahawa cooperation dalam digital economy agak penting. Tapi cara dia mengolahkan this argument is a bit strange for me, because dia kata intensify cooperation in digital economy to drive the use of technology amongst SMEs to empower their business. So he is targeting a very strange angle. He doesn't want to create unicorns. He doesn't want ASEAN and China to come together and build the next Grab, for instance.
Existing SMEs.
No, he wants to make sure that the SMEs can drive their businesses further using technology. This is a very good signal, if you ask me, because Malaysia is a country of SMEs. 97% of businesses in this country are SMEs. The only one that can push forward SMEs to go to the next level is technology, using technology as the enabler. So what does this mean? Does this mean adoption of cloud technology? Does this mean using automation, especially for routine tasks like bookkeeping and also legal activities? Does it also mean trying to empower sales and marketing, use many companies like Upmesh dan sebagainya sebagai ataupun live shopping macam dekat Shopee dan sebagainya? All this is the kind of things that Ismail Sabri was talking about in terms of intensifying cooperation in digital economy between businesses in ASEAN and China. I believe this is a good way to go because I think kita kena stop kita punya angan-angan untuk grow the next unicorn.
Unicorns.
If it happens, it happens.
Ada bubble.
But that shouldn't be the way. Sebab kalau kau tengok yang kita punya free trade partnership yang sebelum ni, RCEP, iaitu the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, remember it took 8 years, you know, of these countries to actually reach this negotiation. Having said that, it does develop a positive sign that ASEAN and China, along with other RCEP partners, can build economic integration, can build transnational supply chains, and can keep markets open despite a pandemic. All this is important. So if ASEAN and China can reach something like an RCEP, there is no reason why ASEAN and China can build something of the digital economy partnership. On top of this, there is no competition when it comes to building better technology adoption amongst SMEs in the ASEAN region. Unlike if you want to build the next unicorn. Let's say you want to build the next unicorn. Temasek akan muscle khazanah out tau. And then Indonesia will have that big of a market. Vietnam will have a big of a market to a point where they really don't need Malaysia to do anything to reach that level of
they overpower.
So because of the ability for us to see no competition in this area, because we see other countries also have their SMEs and other countries want to develop their SMEs to adopt technology even better, this is a possibility for us to grow further our 97% of businesses in Malaysia, which are the SMEs. So I do hope that a free trade agreement can be reached, but not necessarily on in terms of, you know, driving technology per se, but, you know, movement of people, for instance, movement of goods. But the thing is, macam Malaysia, diorang sekarang dah ada tax untuk beli barang online for RM500 items and less and all that. Yeah, it does bring about that kind of cost to doing business. But at the same time, this is how we need to move forward. We can get better tax, we can get better businesses to become cleaner, come into the black, you know, tanah, all these grey businesses, the tanah, submit income tax returns. We are moving towards a better way of doing things. But if only we know who in the government, for instance, that can drive this even further. This statement coming in from the Prime Minister, who do you think, which ministry do you think is going to support this particular statement? And so far, aku tak nampak tau any other ministers yang sambut benda ni. And of course, with the election coming up, yeah.
Tak ada siapa peduli lah. I mean, realistically, it should be under MIT lah, right? I mean, if you talk about that, it should be MIT and also it should be keusahawanan.
Yeah, but
you know,
that's why the PRU has to... No, that's why the PRU has to happen now, because once the PRU happens now, then you have a better idea of who won, who lost, who's going to be in the cabinet, who's not going to be in the cabinet. But and then businesses like this can move forward. And it's not just internal stakeholder, bro. It's like people in China, for instance, they now know who to talk to. People in ASEAN, they now know who to talk to.
Who's the head honcho lah. Who's the head honcho.
Betul.
Itulah masalahnya Ismail Sabri cakap macam ni kan. I'm sure lah. Did he streamline it? Revise me. Does the intention, reflects the strategy that Azmin is planning for the ministry? God knows. I don't know, because aku sendiri tak tahu apa strategi Azmin when it comes to improving trade. But of course, when they talk about elections, there's always political considerations. Maybe his thing is beneficial for him to wait it out. Tapi yalah. So businesses lah yang have to, you know, weather this uncertainty. So it's a never-ending cycle for Malaysia. That's why aku dengan Yeb sentiasa every episode ada je benda untuk cakap, which is good. But these kinds of things okay lah. We celebrate every little victory we have each time a lawmaker actually come up with something that is decent. And we have to say what Ismail Sabri said, as Yeb rightly pointed out, memang benda tu bagus for the SME and also for the country. On that note, kita rehat sebentar. Lepas ni kita sambung segmen Teman Amats.
Okay, cerita dia macam ni. Kamu seorang pengusaha kecil dan mikro. Kamu menjual barang macam-macam. Dan telah tiba masanya kamu membuat penampilan di media untuk menceritakan kisah kamu. Tapi isu dia sekarang, kamu takut. Tak tahu nak start kat mana. Nak cerita apa? Nak cakap dengan siapa? Ini semua normal problem. Di Pusat Media Amans, kami sediakan media training untuk pengusaha kecil macam korang. Wartawan-wartawan bertauliah dari Astro Awani, BFM Radio dan media masa lain sedia untuk memberikan latihan kepada kamu. Dengan hanya RM50 sahaja, kamu akan mendapat latihan media dari real life reporters. Tanya kami di us@amans.my sekarang. Media training untuk semua di us@amans.my.
Okey, kembali ke podcast Amans bersama aku Mak Pis dan juga Yem. Ini adalah segmen ketiga, segmen teman Amans. Seperti biasa dalam segmen ni, aku dan Yem akan sembang tentang beberapa perkara ataupun persoalan yang dibangkitkan oleh pendengar-pendengar di luar sana yang dihantarkan ke us at amans.my. Dan untuk kali ini, kita dapat soalan email melalui email dari saudara Alim yang bertanyakan tentang our neighbor, which is a very interesting question sebenarnya. Mak Pis dan Yem, apa pandangan korang tentang Indonesia mempamerkan regulation baru untuk memangkin penggunaan tenaga boleh kita semula ataupun renewable energy. Very interesting. Sebenarnya regulation ni has been quite a big deal actually in the region, because kita tahu Indonesia ni boleh dikatakan one of the world's biggest carbon emitters, and it's good. I mean, you know, they actually this is intention, perkara yang niat yang ditunjukkan dan ada action ataupun tindakan to back that niat. Sedikit statistik as reported before, Indonesia is the world's largest exporter of coal. And dalam this regulation ni, mereka plan to increase the proportion of renewables in its energy mix to 23% by 2025. Setakat ini, as of 2022, they've reached about 12%, which is just over the 50% mark. And coal ataupun arang currently powers around 60% of the country's electricity needs, and it's basically no joke lah. Kita nak replace coal ni, aku rasa Jokowi have to really dig deep in order to meet this. But at least this is something in the right direction. And we also know that Indonesia dah set a very lofty goal untuk achieve net zero emissions by 2060. Aku rasa Malaysia pun also, I think Ismail Sabri announced, but it's by 2050. But aku dengan Tuan Ibrahim, Tuan Man kata our KETSA minister, our water and environment minister kata there's no climate crisis here in Malaysia. There's no need to. Aku tak tahu how we going to reach that mark. But let's be optimistic here and discuss what can we learn from this regulation and how will it affect not just Indonesia but the region here. What do you think?
Sebab, okay, kau tengok Indonesia dah ada net zero emission target by 2060. This is a pledge that is done alongside other countries to phase down use of coal macam kau cakap. And they plan to get rid of 15 gigawatts of coal power. We know this. Yang penting adalah, because of this new regulation coming in, this allows for companies to build better businesses when it comes to renewable energy. Now, I started my career in Islamic banking. Back in 2008, Islamic banking would not have happened in Malaysia. The whole world knows Malaysia is a leader in Islamic banking. But the banking sector will not happen in terms of Islamic banking without regulation. The first act, any act, statute, law regarding Islamic banking was done in Malaysia. It was called the Islamic Banking Act 1980. The Islamic Banking Act paved the way for businesses to build businesses, for banks to build businesses around Islamic banking under the regulation. This is the reason why kalau ada perundangan, ini membenarkan perniagaan-perniagaan serata dunia untuk membolehkan mereka membina perniagaan mereka berdasarkan lunas yang terangkum di dalam perundangan yang wujud. Sama macam kita punya updated law when it comes to Islamic banking. It's called the Islamic Financial Services Act 2013, if I'm not mistaken. IFSA again brings an updated version of how businesses can build Islamic banking business in the 21st century. This is to be read in tandem with, say for instance, Tabung Haji Act, another law that allows for a state-run company like Tabung Haji to build business, to grow Islamic finance, but at the same time provide benefit like sending Muslims, particularly Malaysian Muslims, for Hajj using a sustainable way of doing savings ataupun investment.
Not entirely sure about the sustainable part, but...
Yeah, yeah, okay, I mean, companies can still be run to the ground like Tabung Haji lah. Yeah. Tapi itu lain story lah. The moral of the story here is, kalau tak ada perundangan, engkau tak boleh bina industri baru. Now, Indonesia now has issued a regulation to encourage renewable energy. When we see this, we're going to see a lot of companies now able to understand how big the sandbox is and where to play inside the sandbox. Kalau tak ada perundangan, everybody can do anything, anybody can do anything, and then it's a cowboy town. Malaysia needs laws. We know this. Malaysia now needs a law regarding renewable energy. Now, we don't have this kind of thing yet, but I know certain sectors in the government is actually trying to draft a law regarding renewable energy. My problem is this, brother. Our parliament is not sitting as frequently as it should. Do you know, right now, there's so many laws that is waiting for endorsement from the parliament.
Yes. That has always been the case, more than 25 at any particular time.
The simplest law that I know of that I can mention is right up my alley, which is the accounting world. Malaysia is supposed to move towards accrual, accrual accounting back in, I don't know, back
benda
when
bertahun aku dah nampak benda tu tak
benda
bertahun
tu dah siap bro. The bill dah siap, dah bertahun-tahun dah siap. LHDN ke custom, whoever that's supposed to do it, dah bagi parliament. But it is stacked on all the laws that is yet to be endorsed by the parliament. How? When you have MPs sitting for just 60 days in a 365-day calendar, you boleh ke kerja 1/5 dalam calendar you? The argument is, oh, dia kena berkhidmat dekat kawasan. I have other jobs too. Come on, man.
Pandai-pandai. Alah, Jumaat kan cuti parliament.
Yeah,
You can always create a system where parliament sits every week for two, three days.
Two lessons here. Two lessons. First lesson is Indonesia is showing us that we need a regulation. And then, of course, we know that regulation can grow industries further. Itu satu. Dua, fucking go to the parliament and do your work lah, motherfucker. We voted you in. Honestly. My MP went to parliament only 40 days in the 65-day calendar, tak kuim, tak apa benda.
The Malaysia GDP report.
Yes.
Like you, I guess. So some if MPs I go to work, 24 kali ya.
Yeah, lucky me lah, kan. But imagine if I'm hired and then I do only 2/3 of the job. You think I'm going to get 2/3 of, you think I'm going to get 100% of the pay? I might not even get 2/3 of the pay. I might lose my job altogether. So itulah. Adalah issue dekat situ.
That's the benefits, kan? That's the sad case. But itulah. I mean, it's a never ending tip. But I mean, Indonesia, you know, dipping their foot in the renewable energy is definitely, it's going to shake the region in a way lah. And aku rasa for those who have ambition, you know, because I'm sure, you know, countries like Singapore, Vietnam, they look at it and they like, okay, how we can, you know, lead ASEAN. And I think this sort of, I would say, is it competition? In a way, it's a competition, but also diplomacy, whatever you want to call it. We want to be the best.
It is a competition. You know?
Want to be the best, you know, or at least one of the best, if we can't be the best. Kan? So let's hope that, tapi aku tak tahu lah, aku rasa diorang semua ni tengah duk sibuk nak. Election ni, dia orang tak fikir renewable energy ni. Do you think how many votes you're going to get, Aim? It's probably just the both of us. And yeah, maybe like also, 15 others.
Kara Swisher of the New York Times did say, the world's first trillionaire will come from energy ataupun clean energy. I believe her, because right now the world's richest man, Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos, depending lah on how you count their wealth, they are not in this sector just yet. They might be entering some sectors into this, macam Tesla, clean car, but they are not fully into this. So if you really want to be the next world's trillionaire, I think this is the sector. I'm dead sure. In fact, brother, I'm willing to stake my claim that if I do not want to do this job anymore, as in a podcaster apa semua, I want to go into
clean energy. You go into energy. My God.
Yeah, it's a big money. Big money. If that is not motivated enough, I don't know what is. Yeah.
Of course. Thank you very much, Alim, for highlighting the fact. We really appreciate. Itu saja teman Ramas buat kali ini. Kita berehat sebentar. Lepas ini kita akan ke segmen seterusnya, segmen Ramalan atau Nuzul.
Podcast ini dibawakan oleh Amans TV. Minat dunia tech, gadget dan smartphone? Jom ikuti Amans hari ini. Kami berkongsi pelbagai video berkaitan review telefon, komputer, laptop, gaming, app dan lain-lain lagi. Kami juga bawakan tutorial dan wawancara bersama pelbagai personaliti di dalam dunia teknologi. Cari Amans TV di YouTube, Facebook dan Instagram hari ini.
Okey, kembali ke Podcast Amans bersama aku, Mak Pisa juga Yem. Ini adalah segmen keempat, segmen Ramalan atau Nuzul. Okey, dalam segmen ni seperti biasa, aku dan Yem akan sembang tentang ramalan. Biasanya Yem akan buat ramalan, dan untuk kali ni seperti biasa, Yem, apa yang kita nak ramalkan bagi sesi kali ni?
Aku nak ramalkan satu benda je, iaitu travel. I myself am traveling quite a bit. Lepas ni aku nak pergi Korea. Sebelum ni aku balik daripada US, hadir ke pelancaran Apple.
Korea apa jadi pula?
Akhir bulan ni Korea aku nak cover SK Magic, satu syarikat yang agak menarik. Dekat
bukan
Malaysia, diorang
jual. Is it like the Kuwait?
Jual water filter, tapi yeah, it is. Tapi I didn't know this until I did my own research. They are the second biggest company in Korea after Samsung. So you have LG, you have Daewoo, you have Hyundai. All these companies are smaller than
compared to SK Magic. That's a surprising fact, at least to me.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I mean, it's fucking surprising for me as well. So I'm going to learn more about them. And also, this is my first time to Korea and I'm going to be traveling. Now, before aku masuk ramalan ni, aku nak share sikit statistik daripada MAHB ataupun Malaysia Airport. Dia kata, total passenger movement has jumped 130% year on year to 7.95 million. It was 3.5 million before, now it's 8 million. 3.5 million in 2021, 8 million in 2022. Now, this is surge. This has seen a 178% surge in international travel passenger movement. Dulu 1.2 million, sekarang 3.3 million. This is of course partly driven by the summer holiday period dekat US, Europe dan sebagainya, and visa relaxation in Saudi Arabia. So domestic passenger travel movement juga meningkat daripada 2.2 million to 4.7 million. All these numbers are up. All these numbers are up. And one research from Pangolin Aviation, kawan kita Motion Aziz yang duk jaga saham aviation, dia pun bilang all the numbers that is recorded in 2022 is back to the previous numbers of pre-COVID days.
2019 lah.
So, travel passengers is going to go up. Now, my my ramalan is this. These numbers are going to surpass the 5 years data. Why? Because this is called revenge travel, brother. Lepas geram bro. Macam kau dah lama tak main, lepas tu kau dapat, kau main, you know, 7-8 kali seminggu.
Full blast.
Full blast bro. And the reason is because it's simple. People now know that life is short and
go at it when you have honestly, the chance lah.
Yeah bro, why hold back? Because akhir bulan ni aku mungkin akan ke Bangkok. And I'm going to Bangkok in a very strange way. I'm going to be traveling by a train, hopefully. I don't know. This is the idea.
That sounds nice. Belum lagi.
Yeah, just to fuck around, you know, just to like, you know, see what Bangkok is all about. And then maybe if I want to fly back, I fly back. If I want to take the train, but whatever lah. That so I'm mixing business and pleasure at the same time. So this month alone, I'm going to be traveling a lot. If I'm doing this, I'm sure a lot of people are also thinking the same way. It may not necessarily be international travel. Domestic travel, boleh.
Yeah.
I asked my girlfriend to see if we can climb Mount Kinabalu. we can't, bro. Apparently, it's fully booked until December.
Yeah.
I mean, you have a Sabah wife. You know this. So, it's like, people want to travel hardcore, domestic or international. So, ramalan aku adalah, apa jua angka yang kau extrapolate ataupun forecast will take place, will be more in reality. And December is coming. And even in December, people are going to be traveling like hardcore. And remember, this year, 70% dah done. Dah khatam. Kami dah selesai 70% tahun ini.
Yep.
So another 30% is left. People, and of course, all the economies are opening up. People are going to be traveling.
Yeah,
hardcore.
And also...
This is
and
not
also,
so much a ramalan.
Yeah, it's more like extrapolation. COVID pun, in a way...
It is
I wouldn't say forgotten, but it seems to be under control despite the numbers being less than optimistic lah, I should say, in terms of boosters and
absolutely.
Apa,
absolutely.
I think you know, people are just get. I think it's really back to 2019 lah. I think I can feel it now, especially with masks off from public and also indoor. Tapi aku rasa dah.
Betul.
I think you're right. Even aku pun, I wouldn't say I'm traveling as much as you, but I'm planning to travel. Whenever I can, but of course domestically lah, tak ada plan lagi to go overseas dan sebagainya. But yeah, I could see the same trend and definitely it will add to whatever MAHB is talking about. It'll be interesting to see 2023 numbers, see if we can surpass everything than before. But on that note, kita berehat sebentar. Pasti kita ke segmen terakhir, segmen baik buruk.
Pandangan dan suara anda penting untuk didengari. Ingin memulakan podcast anda sendiri? Kami menyediakan package all-in-one untuk anda secara percuma untuk episod pertama. Ya, secara percuma. Tunggu apa lagi? Jom bina konten digital anda bersama Pusat Media Amans. Info lebih lanjut di us@amans.my.
Okey, kembali ke podcast zaman bersama aku, Mak Fiz dan juga Yem. Ini adalah segmen terakhir, segmen baik buruk. Okey, seperti biasa, aku dan Yem akan sembang tentang apa yang baik dan buruk yang kami nampak untuk minggu ni. Yem, apa yang kau rasa baik dan apa yang kau rasa buruk untuk kali ni?
Baik, mudah. Lebuh raya suka dibukakan.
Free pula tu?
Free for 1 month. So phase good. One lah, baru lah, relax lah.
Do you regularly suka?
Yeah. I have some job in Sungai Besi. And I live somewhere in KL. So
there's
Sungai Besi Wuklang Elevated Expressway. I will be able to use it. And tu baik lah. Sebab, you know, I mean, any highway opening up is always good. Buruk bekas ketua pengarang The Age lah, di dakwa fitnah. Aku macam sakit hati sangat-sangat lah. Sebab
about the money stock.
First of all, there's two problems here. There's two problems here. Okay, first of all, kalau korang tak tahu lagi lah, this is regarding the
Azam
Age
Aris.
Report. Azam Aris, veteran, dia 61 years old.
Former
editor-in-chief, right now editor emeritus ataupun editor sambilan lah, senang kata. Dia buat satu laporan yang menyatakan bahawa ada penny stock manipulation, and dia sebut one individual as the person related to this, iaitu Datuk Kwa Kai Shuan, dengan syarikat dia, syarikat DGB Asia Berhad. Dia buat laporan ni sekitar 2020. Dan first of all, there's two problems to this. First is, why attack the reporter? Why attack the messenger? He is just reporting. There's no editorialization. These are just facts. Itu satu. Maknanya freedom of press is under attack. The second is, why is it that DPP is doing this? Why not move it towards civil suit? Why not Datuk Kuas?
So is it a crime?
Against the state. This is not a crime against the state, bro. So, ini buruk lah. I don't want to get into trouble so much, but generally speaking, I find that as the buruk for this.
Yeah. Each time, like a journalist or, you know, former journalist, whatever, each time a media outlet is reprimanded lah. This is in a way reprimanded or punished because reporting something that is important kan, dia bukan malicious, dia bukan you know, untrue ke dan sebagainya. But I guess yeah, I think I could concur with you on that because I have a similar things thought out as far as buruk. Baik for me, yeah, I think that suka thing is definitely interesting and hopefully I can somehow, I wouldn't say address the congestion issue, but alleviate lah, mudahkanlah sikit untuk penghuni-penghuni di Klang Valley ni. And on that note, kita akhiri podcast Amaz untuk kali ni. Seperti biasa, jika anda mempunyai apa-apa maklum malas, cadangan, soalan dan sebagainya, hantarkan ke Asyik Ramai. Aku dan Yim sentiasa mengalu-alukannya. Kita bertemu lagi di sesi akan datang.
Gapo dia? Teknologi gapo yang mencorak hidup kita? Gapo sebaliknya? Gapo dia? Ikuti Gapo dia bagi membincangkan sedikit kisah di sebalik teknologi tercanggih masa kini, dibawakan oleh Oppo Malaysia.